is Smashville Live.
Johansson, right side, Orbison, and the score!
From Boomba's Craft Pizza and Tap House in East Nashville.
What a rocket!
Brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka, Red Spirits and Wine, and Spring Hill Heating and Cooling. Tonight's show features Predators defenseman Corbinian Holzer and Jared Tenorti.
Yes, everybody! Go in!
Welcome to Smashville Live on Nashville's best sports talk,
ESPN
102.5 The Game.
And good evening, everybody. Welcome in to Smashville Live here on 102.5 The Game. Yeah, got some people out here tonight. We are on the east side at Boomba's. Willie Donick here with you, along with Hal Gill. Hal, welcome to your show. This is my I'm a guest host tonight. I'm filling in.
I know. There's no pressure, Willie. Just relax. Do you. Okay, that's all
okay.
We need. Thank you.
Okay, I can do that.
Thanks for coming out.
Yeah.
Well, I guess this is your hood, though.
This is my stomping ground. Yeah. I am not far, but I could have walked here. Could have. But it's a little chilly out. You know, it's a little breezy.
I know. That's what our guest is a little upset about. Coming from Cali, it's a little chilly now.
Well, let's introduce our guest for tonight. And thank you all for coming out. You'll have a chance to participate in the show a little bit later. The Predators got a big win last night against the Ottawa Senators. 3-2 was the final. They've won the last two here. On this five-game homestand, 2-0, three more to go. And tomorrow night, it's a big game against the Calgary Flames. So let's introduce our guests. Hal, why don't you do the honors? We have two fine defensemen here.
I know. It's nice to have some big D-man. Jared Tenorti is here.
Yep, thank you.
Corbinian Holzer. And am I saying that right?
That's pretty good, yeah.
That's good. As a German name, I want to respect your...
Yeah. No, that's
your roots.
That's pretty good.
Yeah. So, in German, how would you say it?
In German, would be Corbinian Holzer.
Holzer.
Yeah.
But, would you like us to try that, or is that?
No, I'll just stick with the way everybody's saying it over here. I'm not ready to get that changed. So after 10 years over
it,
here,
it is something that we always have to do, though, right? How with every player, we have to try to blend how you would say it in your native language with a little bit of Americanized, yeah. And then you sort of choose. Which way we lean?
I'm fine with the North American way. That's what I'm just used to. And my mom is the only one that calls me Corbinian anyway, so only when she's mad. I'm fine with the way that's been for the last 10 years.
So Corby is what they call
it. Yeah, Corby is fine. Holsey, whatever you guys want to say.
All right. This is going to be a little bit of a get-to-know-you for the Predators.
I know.
For those that don't follow closely, Corbinian was just traded here.
And how nice of him to come out on a night. He just got here. He's trying to figure out where he is. I've gone through the trade, man. It's tough. I always say it's like a snow globe. Someone just tips you upside down, and all your stuff is everywhere. So do you... You have a family, your wife, kids?
I got two kids and a girlfriend. They're both, all three of them are in Germany.
Oh, okay.
And so that makes it a little easier in that transition. So I only have to take care of everything myself. They don't have to worry about anything back in Anaheim. I pretty much got the call and raced home right after. And once they told me my flight is at 6 p.m., I was like, okay, I got 2 hours because it takes me an hour to get through LAX. So... I packed up everything I had at the house, and the lucky day was that I just had the cleaning lady in that day, too. So, good or convenient. So, I had that done, too, and just really, packed up everything that I wanted to bring or don't need anymore. I threw out, I had a nice Chewbacca costume from Halloween I wanted to bring home to Germany. I threw that one out now.
That's a shame.
It is. It looked unbelievable, so I was a little mad that I don't have it anymore. But other than that, I just packed everything up and, went to the airport with, six bags and my hockey equipment and, moved spots.
And here you are.
Yep.
That's awesome.
That is
pretty
good.
What a league, huh? Boys, what a league.
So we'll talk a little bit more later in the show about the whole process, because, Hal, I know you've been through it as well, but let's introduce our other defenseman as well.
Jared Tenorti, yeah, of course. Playing fantastic. I know. He's stepped up, and Ryan Ellis with the injury, and you stepped up and fought for a job, and how are you feeling out there?
I feel good. I think I'm playing well, trying to keep it simple out there. I think, I've been fortunate that, I'm playing with Ecky, which is a huge help. I mean, he's a great player, and, he makes it easy for me, mostly just give him the puck and let him do his thing. So, just trying to keep my game simple, keep getting better every day and help the team get some wins here.
It was certainly a big game last night, and Hal had a chance. He came over to our TV broadcast. We were sort of comparing notes, the radio side, the TV side, but it was an important intermission, I thought, Jared, after the first period, that things didn't really go the way you wanted. Like those last 8 minutes, they get the lead. But you guys didn't panic. You hung in there and got back to your game in the second period.
Yeah, well, I think that's kind of the big thing for us and the way we're growing as a group. I think, when we went through that tough stretch, when I first got here, we get scored on once and we get down a goal early and things kind of seem to go off the rails. We can't really regroup. But, I think the mental toughness part of the game, I think we've come a long way. And I think, you can feel it in the room. You can feel it on the bench. If things aren't going our way, we're not getting too stressed out. I think we're a confident group in there. We have the skill. We have the players to come back and win games from behind. So, once we kind of get comfortable with that, and sometimes you're going to be down a goal, and you just got to battle through it and come back and keep grinding away.
So we were curious, and Hal, you talked about this on our post game radio show last night. What is that like in the locker room? How do people know when it's time to, kind of pump each other up, yell at each other, or just kind of remain calm and show poise? Which way did you go last night?
Everybody was pretty calm. I think, we were confident in our group in that game. I think, we got down the 2-1 lead going into the intermission. But, everyone kind of was confident that we were going to come back and make a push. And, if we just kept plugging away, doing the things we were doing, we were going to get one. And then once we get one, we were going to get two. So I think, it's kind of a feel in the room, feel in the group, when you need to push, when you need a little bit of a kick, and when you just kind of need to be calm about it and go about your business.
Hal, the point you made last night, which I thought was good, and Corby, you can weigh in on this because you've been in a lot of locker rooms, a lot of situations, but you can't do the same thing every time, right? If everybody came in and started yelling, or the coach came in every time you played a bad period, it wouldn't work, right? You don't get the same response.
You can't dump the water cooler and throw the trash can after every period, right?
So it becomes meaningless at that point.
Exactly.
You're doing it every
so
time. Yeah.
There's quiet times. And so, I'd love to hear your opinion, Corby. Is, when you're going through a hard time, you have a bad period, how do you adjust?
I think it's...
Are you a guy that just snaps and just starts throwing stuff in the locker room or breaking sticks? Or are you...
Like, if I was a coach or just as a player?
As a player.
As me, I think, it depends how my last shift went, I feel like. That's always kind of, what carried into the room. I remember the other game when I was still in Anaheim, the last shift, we had a bad change and a PK and almost got scored on. And I was racing on the ice, and it was like a 1.5 almost. And I was... pissed that I get the guys who were changing, and I yelled at them, and I got to the room, I was still pissed. And that's you gotta take a breath, let it out early maybe, and then just sit down, because you got 15 minutes before you go out again, or 18 minutes, whatever it is, and you gotta regroup and obviously be calm, because it doesn't help when you get it all worked up, right? I think in the room, so calm down, and whatever it is, if you're down two, if you just got scored on 2 seconds before the end of the period or whatever it is, you can be pissed off, but you gotta regroup. And I think if you have a good leadership group in the room who can take charge of that right away, have the room kind of have the emotion out of the room early, and then you can talk about it, and then usually the coach comes in around 10 minutes, 9 minutes before you go out again or something like that. And he kind of just gives borders before you go out again, kind of what we can do better, what we can do, what we didn't do well. But for me, it's I just sit there and try to calm down, maybe grab a snack or something like that, and then just
go back at it.
Go right back at it, because you can't change what happened. So you can only, work on the outcome.
Now
when
coming
you go back
in, we talked about there's a coaching change in Nashville, and then there's been a lot of talk. What Jared was talking about is the mentality shift, and going from the outside, what have you seen from Nashville and your initial thoughts? I'm going to Nashville. What were your initial thoughts?
With the history I had when I was in Anaheim with the series and the games we always played against Nashville, obviously,
no way, I'm not going.
I might have to fight everybody in the room. No, but, You know, honestly, after like that initial thought, I was like, man, I got traded. That's crazy. You think about, you go to Nashville, and then you think about what they've accomplished over the last few years and where their franchise is at, and like always like competing for a championship. I think the talent they have on the roster, and then I think back to the games we played them when I was on the ice. It was always they had that swagger around them. They would always like laugh in your face. Doesn't matter how many times you hit them. There's some things where you just get really pissed off, and just the way they carry themselves, and obviously with the skill level they have, they could hurt you in all kinds of different ways. And that was the kind of like the part I liked about it going here, just knowing that you have a team that's like embracing it, and the way they go out, they play the right way, and they play hard, and they can beat you with skill, and they can obviously beating you up. So I think that was an exciting part, or exciting thought for me coming here, and I'm looking forward to get going. Yeah,
it's interesting. It didn't take long for that question to come up yesterday when you had your first talk with the Nashville media, your days with the Ducks, the rivalry and all that. I'm looking at the stats here. So for those that don't know, Horbinian was on two of the Ducks teams, 16 and 17, those playoff series. And I noticed that in the 17 Western Conference final, 18 pims in the series.
Yep.
You were probably, you just said it. You got pissed off.
Probably about fifth on the team. Right. there was a lot of pims in that series, if I recall.
Yeah, it was just like if you think about it. If I think back, it was like you played in that time too. Like, no offense, but like in the 80s or early 90s, like a lot of.
I didn't play in the 80s.
Like, maybe not that far back, but like when there was like before the rules were changed, like a lot of hacking and whacking, and like the playoff series was just like nasty hockey. Yeah. And like there was a cross check in every shift, and they didn't care if you hit the numbers. It didn't matter if you were looking. It just didn't matter. It was just free for all. Like you went out there and you tried to hurt the other guy and just try to do everything you can to win the series. And I think, it escalated a little bit at times, but I think that's what it's all about. And when I can only speak for myself, I love the way playing that way. And I just enjoy being part of that series. And obviously we came out at the wrong end of that time. But overall, it was a great series for the game of hockey, I think.
Jared, your dad played in the NHL. When he talks about that era, and of course Hal would be the bridge between your dad and this era. Okay. Right? Is that right? Have I got
played
it right
the
now?
90s. Okay. Yeah. Played the 90s. Fair enough.
But that, I mean, that you can appreciate that style of hockey, and you bring some of that to the table too.
Yeah, for sure. I think, the game's changed. I think it's changed kind of in a better way, but I still think there's an element that, that old school hockey, it still has a place in today's game. I think, the amount of skill guys have now and how fast the game's going, I think it was just inevitable that, the rules were going to start falling that way too. I mean, guys are so fast and guys are so skilled nowadays, but, I think that kind of old school hockey still belongs in the game. And I mean, the regular season's kind of a different season than playoffs are. Once playoffs hit, I mean, it's the game seems to change instantly. And, I think it kind of playoff hockey kind of falls more back to that old school kind of, grind. You're seeing, guys 80, 90 point getters that are out there finishing every hit. And I think that's, that's exciting. That's fun.
Do you feel like it's getting there? It's a little early this year, but you're in the race right now. You got to win games.
I mean, this is playoff hockey for us right now. Yeah.
It is. Yep. I feel
absolutely.
That.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. I think that's, and that's the mentality that coach is trying to instill upon us and, our leadership group. And, everyone's embracing that right now, which is great. And it's fun. I mean, we're playing, meaningful games. We still got 20 games left, 21 games left, whatever we have. And these are all meaningful games for us right now. So it's fun.
When we come back, I want to ask you guys, I feel like we have the tallest show in the NHL tonight. Our average height by probably 6'5", pretty good. But you guys are all longer defense, but I want to get all three of you to talk about it, especially in light of what you said, Jared, the way the game is going. There's so much speed out there now. How you use your size to your advantage these days. And growing up, I mean, right now there's a lot of guys growing up, it's all about speed. You don't have to be, tall anymore. It's not maybe as valued as it was back when Hal was playing. Fair to say?
Yeah.
Hal?
I always said it's every game is another chance to slow down the fastest game on earth.
All right. We'll talk more about that on the other side. This is Smashville Live, and it's being brought to you tonight by Spring Hill Heating and Cooling, Red Spirits and Wine, and New Amsterdam Vodka. We're over here at Boombaz on the east side. If you're in the neighborhood, come on by. And we'll continue to talk Nashville Predators hockey here on 102.5.
hands. Nice.
Pete Weber has infiltrated the hockey music file.
He loves himself some brass bananas.
Oh, he does. This is good stuff. All right, we are back here on 102.5 The Game. This is Smashville Live. We're coming at you on the east side tonight from Boomba's Pizza. And this show is being brought to you, as always, by Spring Hill Heating and Cooling, Red Spirits and Wine, and New Amsterdam Vodka. Tomorrow night, the schedule resumes. 20 games to go. Predators and the Calgary Flames, the two teams that going into tonight occupy the two wild card spots in that really tight race in the Western Conference. So let's pick up what we were talking about right before the break, guys. Jared standing at 6'6". How officially, were you, what were you listed at when you played?
6'7", 6'9", with the afro.
6'9", with the afro, kind of like Fletch. Well, you know, so the hair not quite tall as Fletch's. 6'7". And Corbinian, I see you at 6'3", on the register here. Is that accurate?
I'm a midget between the two.
Yeah. Well, I used to, in basketball, you always want to add an inch, right? You add whatever you, with your shoes on. We would always, I would say six. I would stretch it.
You know what the funny part is? I actually am like closer to 6'8", and they're like, "We'll give you 6'8". And I was like, "No," because I was really skinny I came. I was like, "No, bring it down," because I was like.
Makes it more proportionate.
I came in the league at like 210. Yeah. And I was like a string bean, and I didn't want to be that guy that was a tall, like lanky.
Oh no!
And here I am. So the game changed, as you talked about. Yeah. The game changed. You have to lose some weight,
right? So how maybe you can start the discussion on using your size to your advantage out there in a game that is getting faster.
Well, there's nothing. More than, and Jared, I'll ask you first, like, how much do you use intimidation? We've seen that. I mean, there's little guys, with Rocco just re-signed, good for him.
Yeah.
But a little guy like him comes, what's your first step when you're facing a guy? I mean, we're talking about.
I mean, you just try and get big and get in front of the guy, make it hard on him. And I think, you know, if a smaller guy knows it's going to be a tough night anytime he comes around you, whether it's going to be, you know, use your stick a little bit more, use your body a little bit more. I mean, maybe that makes him think twice about, you know, coming around your side of the net or coming into your corner. Or maybe he doesn't really want that puck. So, you know, everybody's so competitive nowadays. But, you know, the little things, you know, like that, I think are big. Even if it gets in someone's head just a little bit, you know, then boom, that's an advantage you have for sure.
Corby, talking about size, you know, how much, you know, I always looked at it as the league changed. And you've been around for a while. You've seen the league get faster. How important, how much more important has position become?
Yeah, I think it's huge.
That's like, what I thought. I was able to stay in the league because I was in position.
Yeah. Somebody said to me one day, I think, if you skate a lot, you stand wrong. Something like that.
Yes, that's right.
So you don't, if you're always in good position, you don't have to skate as much, obviously. But I think the biggest part nowadays is, like, if you can establish your gap as quick as possible, like, obviously everybody needs to be able to skate and skate with the smaller guys in a certain way. But if you're a bigger guy, I think if you can establish your gap as quick as possible, and like Jared said, like, make it harder than make yourself big in front of them as early as possible, they will think about twice, like, if they can beat your speed or not. And going into corners, you always obviously have to be a little more careful going on guys if they're smaller, like they're shifty. And there's not, you have to be careful as a defenseman now how hard you're going to go in and guys, because some guys, you're just too strong for them sometimes. And it's like the little guys. And
I got a lot of penalties for being too strong. Yeah.
just like a different way. Like I think, but like you said, yeah, you're right. If you stand in the perfect, like in the right spot most of the times, and you can work a lot of stuff with your stick, just the stick length, like your arm reach and stuff like that, and eliminate a lot of stuff before it even gets to the net.
Yeah, I'll add to that, like, as far as penalty kill goes, that was my bread and butter, is penalty killing. How big is, Jared, how big is stick position and using that size, not just as intimidation, not just as your body in there, but also taking away passing lanes?
Yeah, I think that's, you know, probably one of the main things nowadays is, you know, how much room you're able to take up between your body and your stick. I mean, that shuts down a lot of plays around the net. I mean, if you have a reach and, you know, you're going 5 feet all around you, then you're covering most of the net. And I think that's, you know, keeping that stick in good position. You're taking up and closing down a lot of lanes and a lot of passing lanes for the other team. And so, you know, you can't be just flailing around out there. You got to be smart about it. But, you know, it definitely helps.
You guys, you hear this term all the time. If you can't skate, you can't play. So how hard, what was it like developing at your size, your skating ability? Because that's you got to be able to move so you can use your size.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. I think that's probably, you know, the biggest thing I learned from my old man when I was growing up playing hockey and things like that. He was always harping on me the skating. He was always trying to, you know, get me to skate, get moving. And so I think that's, you know, part of my skating ability now is from, you know, he knew I was going to be a big guy when I was that age. I was already taller than most of the kids. So, you know, that's one thing from an early age I really kind of hit hard pretty early was the skating aspect of it. And I think that helped me out in the long run.
So, Corby, you grew up in Germany. So what was the development program like?
You were on big ice, too.
What's that?
Did you grow up playing on the big ice?
Yeah, big ice.
So Olympic-size ice is
a lot more skating.
A lot more skating, right? So, no, explain that.
I just remember when I grew up, every practice we would skate the circles. Like, skate circles, do all kinds of skating drills, and just be able to move. Like, I think back when I was in kids' hockey or, like, peewees or whatever, I think it changed a little bit now that there's even more emphasis on skating ability and stuff like that. But I think you just develop over time by skating. And obviously, like I said, the big ice, lots more skating. So, just stuff like that. I did a lot of skating back home, and I think in the National Hockey League, you can't really say there's a bad skater in that league. You know, it's the best league in the world, and I think if you're in there, you're usually a pretty decent skater. It's just make a way around the league.
You go back home in the summer. You go back home to Germany, I assume, right?
Yep.
Are you working on that?
I think it became more a factor now within, like, the last few years with the game.
Yeah, 100%,
yeah, I think so. Just, like, something you never really thought, because you always think, like, I think my skating is pretty good, but now that the league changed and everything, you got to work on stuff. And I worked on the last few summers, and I worked with a guy back home, and he showed me some stuff, and I felt, like, terrible. Like, doing the exercises.
It's humbling, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. Like, it brings you down to earth right away. You're like, oh, my God, like, I think I'm a terrible skater. Like, the easiest drills you've never done before, like, or never done or didn't do in, like, I don't know, 20 years or whatever. And you're just like, oh, my God, like, I'm terrible. But, like, once you get the hang of it again, and, like, you like, repetition obviously makes you a lot better quicker. So I think that that goes a long way now.
And, Jared, I assume you work in – your skating has been – you know, I played with you in Montreal, and your skating has improved tenfold. You've just gotten...
Yeah, I think it's just, I mean, every summer you just kind of hit it, you know, as hard as you can, really. I mean, you don't want to kill yourself, like, doing that stuff in the summertime. But you just kind of hit it, you know, just like you would anything else. I mean, you're in the gym trying to, you know, get stronger, get quicker, things like that. It's the same thing on the ice. You know, you go on the ice, you work on your skills. And I think skating has to be just as important as anything else.
So, Hal, if I'm looking at this right, you just said you played. This is an interesting connection. You have a lot of connections throughout the league. We were talking about Corby.
I got punted a lot. I got traded a lot. And, you know, 2 years here, 2 years there, a year and a half.
I wasn't going to say it like
thanks,
that.
Thanks,
because everyone wants it.
Yeah, that's what it is.
But we were just
talking
about
it. Yeah, that's what it is.
Corby's, you know, he gets the call, and boom, your life changes. You're on a plane a couple hours later, boom. So Jared is your teammate, right, in Montreal when you got traded to Nashville, right?
That's right. Yeah, he was a young kid. I think, Jared, you were telling
me. That would have been, was that lockout year? No.
I think we just played together.
We just played together, I think, at camp at when I was first drafted there, right? Yeah.
And you were saying, I think you got a bunch of my equipment. Your equipment got lost.
Oh, yeah. So this was before the draft. They do the they fly guys in for the one-day development camps or whatever they call them. Yeah. And so my bag never showed up. And so I get to Montreal, and I have no equipment. I'm supposed to go on the ice and do all of this testing. And they got their skating coach. And they got so I was 17 at this time. Yeah. They got their guy out there with the video camera supposed to be watching us. And so I think it was Pat at the time. He goes, yeah, well, I got some gear for you. Like, I think, you know, it's Hal Gill's gear. He should fit you pretty good. I'm like, okay. So I try it on in the pants. I'm swimming in the pants and the shoulder pads. I mean, all the gear is just, like, dripping off me. It's so big. I got your gloves on. They're like, I'm like, holy cow, how am I supposed to do this? But, I mean, it worked for me, so I'll take it.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah.
But we were talking about this a lot on the show yesterday. Since the now that the trade deadline's passed, you have this, you know, there's always that day. What could happen today, right? And you had it happen to you twice. How, right, all of a sudden you get the call. And so leading up to it, how many days in advance? And, Corby, I'm curious to know, like, did you think there was a chance? Could it happen? What are those feelings like when you come in every day and you're not exactly sure what's going
to
happen?
I want to hear yours, Corby. I want to hear what it felt like for you.
I've been traded twice now, Toronto and Anaheim here. It's not fun. Like, when you get the call, it's – like, when I got the call the other day, it was already past the deadline, I think, like 10 minutes after.
So you thought you made it. You thought, okay, well, it's
– Yeah.
Although you don't know, right?
Well, I can tell this story, and then I tell the first one I got traded. I was never sure that I'm safe.
Yeah.
Obviously, you have a feeling when you're new UFA, unrestricted free agent, that there might be danger in the spot we're in with Anaheim, like – more to the bottom of the standings, don't really have a chance, and the kind of like a little bit of a rebuild going on there right now. You're always worried about stuff like that they flip you for anything they can find. But I had a pretty good feeling that I would stay. I had a good connection with the team. I've been there for 5.5 years. Got along with the coaches real well, the GM and everything. And I didn't expect it at all. And when I was standing there, my phone rang, and I looked at it, and I was like, it said the GM's name, Bob Murray, and I was like, here we go.
knew exactly.
Great
deadline
day. Yeah. You know, he never calls, but he would call. Yeah,
he's not talking about a new contract.
Yeah, exactly. So I knew right away. It was a quick, brief conversation, and then I got the call from Dave Poyle and went straight home. So
yeah,
that was pretty much it.
I will say I was in Montreal with Jared, and I had a short trip to Buffalo.
Yeah.
And, you know, the trip from Montreal to Buffalo is a quick one, quick in and out. I think I had a toothbrush in my pocket, and that's about it. and I got a call. It said, you've been Pierre Gauthier, our GM, said, you've been traded. And I said, okay, where? And he goes, I'll tell you in like a half hour. I'm like, why didn't you just call me in a half hour?
When you knew for sure.
When you knew where I was going. So I sat there for a half an hour, and then David Poyle called me. And, you know, of course, the Preds were on a two-week road swing. And so, you know, I got a new wardrobe out of the thing. But that was nice. But, yeah, it's unnerving, right?
Yeah.
Especially when it's late. My from Toronto to Pittsburgh. It was late. It was a late one. And so I thought I made it through. I went and took a nap, and I woke up to 1,000 messages. It's a tough part of the business, but we appreciate you coming out here and being part of the Preds because, you know, you're going to be a big part of this team. Yeah. It's going
to
be fun.
Now, here's another piece of interesting connections to the Predators. So I'm looking at Jared's history here. Traded January 15, 2016 from Montreal to Arizona for Victor Bartley, former Predator, and John Scott, of all people. Now, that's good trivia right there.
Yeah, that is good trivia.
All-star MVP.
He's an all-star,
So where were you? Yeah, all-star MVP in Nashville, Tennessee, right down the street.
So
where were you when you got traded?
I was actually about to get on the plane. We were going on the road somewhere, went through security, about to get on the plane, and the GM's standing at the gate. To get on the plane, and everyone's going through, and I think I'm just going through too. And he pulls me aside and said, "No, we traded you to Arizona, so he'll be getting a phone call from their GM shortly. But you just head home, start packing, and they'll give you the details."
Wow.
Yeah.
A lot of people don't realize how cutthroat it is.
It is
literally. I will do everything as a team. I will do everything for you. We have breakfast, lunch, and dinner, and we're going to take care of you, and you're going to fly you everywhere, and then it's you're cut off cold turkey.
Yeah.
We are done with you.
Yeah.
And so it is a bitter pill to swallow, but we've all gone through it, and in the end, it works out. You just jump into 25 new best friends, and you keep going.
Yeah. Well, speaking of the 25 new best friends, by the way, I thought it was funny the other night that I was watching, preparing for the Ottawa game. And Ottawa, we know, made a lot of trades, right, on Monday.
That's right.
So they have some guys arriving at the game while the game is going on. One of them came from Montreal, Matthew Pekka, and he literally jumps onto the bench in his new uniform. And he, the game is
crazy
midway the first, and he's introducing himself to the guys on the bench. They've never met him before.
I'm your new best friend.
Yeah. And he got an assist. He got an assist later in the game. It was quite a performance.
Yeah.
All right, when we come back, we'll have more with Jared Tenorti, Corbinian Holzer, Hal Gill from here at Boom Boz here on the east side. This is Smash Drill Live, presented by Spring Hill Heating and Cooling, Red Spirits and Wine, and New Amsterdam Vodka. Stay tuned. Smashville Live continues here on 102.5 The Game from Boom Boz on the east side. Predator defenseman Jared Tenorti and Corbinian Holzer here with us. Predators back in action tomorrow night against the Calgary Flames. Wild card 1 versus wild card 2 as the standings sit right now. Calgary coming off a big win in Boston last night, 5-2.
Corbinian Holzer.
Okay. Well,
that
was
pretty good.
Is that better? That was really good.
Just wait till Pete Weber gets hold of that with his German ties. He is going to go with the German pronunciation.
Absolutely.
No question. So your mom, I think, will be happy when she's listening back home.
I'm sure she will.
We got a couple questions for the audience, guys. You ready for these?
Perfect.
All right. Let's go out to Gina.
Hey, guys. Okay, so I have Brandon from Franklin.
My question is for Corbinian. Given your previous seasons in Anaheim and being part of the 2016-17 team when the Preds beat the Ducks to advance to the Stanley Cup Final, do you have any memories about the Western Conference Final, and how do you feel about being a member of the Nashville Predators now?
Like I said earlier, it was a nasty series. I think it was fun, a lot of fun to be part of, even though we didn't advance. But it was a great series for a game of hockey, and it was just fun to be part of it. And I can't remember anything big about it. Everything, like every game was like tough as nails. Like everybody was, every inch was, you had to earn every inch out there. And it was just a really good series. And now that I'm on the other side, obviously, like I said earlier, when I heard about the trade here, I was like, oh, this could be interesting. But I'm excited, obviously. Like I said, this is a great organization, great team, and I'm looking forward to do some damage down the road.
One thing I remember about that series, and from the Predators' standpoint, that series, Mike Fisher got hurt, Ryan Johansson got hurt, and you guys had your share of injuries as well. I think it was Ricard Raquel, all of a sudden, everything's secret, and all of a sudden he's not out there for one of the games. So by the time you get that deep in the playoffs, and Hal, you could speak to this as well, it does become a little bit of a war of attrition, doesn't it?
Well,
especially such a physical series like that.
I think everybody's hurt at that point. Like, I think there's not one player who doesn't have anything that's hurting. Like, the playoffs are a grind for itself, like their own kind of season, I think. And every series is a battle. It doesn't matter if it's a first round, second, or third, or finals. I think by that time, the Western Conference Finals, like, every player on both teams, I think, had something going on. And it's just a matter of battling through it and just wanting it more, I guess, in the end. And just there's details of the game that, maybe there's a little bit of luck on one side or the other. Maybe you get a bounce there, a bounce here, and you advance to the Stanley Cup Finals. But in the end of the day, I think, it's just a grind down the road being part of the playoffs.
So for Smashville, everyone looks at Anaheim as the and Willie, you've been around for a long time. But I feel like Smashville, They see Anaheim as the beast. Like, it's going to be a gritty, hard game. It's going to it's going to be torment. Yeah. It's going to be awesome. Can you say that's the same for the other side, or is there other teams? I mean, you guys had some good battles. I mean, going through California is tough.
Oh yeah. Like, it has changed a little bit, obviously, but usually when we played LA, like, everybody was getting all excited, like, oh, like Anaheim, LA, it's going to be...
That's a natural
A thousand hits and, like, four or five fights. And it's, like, usually every game was, like, started off... Like, I remember one game we played in LA, and there was three or four fights within 7 seconds. Like, there was a fight, whistle, the guys were going to box, face off, fight again, and, like, three or four fights within 7 seconds is insane.
Yeah.
And you would think the same thing. Like, we would go into games when we play Nashville... we were like the team that lost that series the next year, is it still had that kind of hatred for each other.
Yeah.
And you knew, like, we're gonna pay back. Like, we're going to make them pay back, and it's going to be a tough game, and we want to win this game. It doesn't matter if it's game one of the season or it's game 82 or it's the last game of the season. It was always a good rivalry, and it's always fun, obviously, playing Nashville when we were with Anaheim. It's a loud building, and I think it's a good rivalry.
It'd be nice to have those guys on your side now.
Yeah. I can't say anything bad now.
All right, let's go back out to Gina. We got another question for the audience.
All right, we have Eric from Gallatin.
This first question here is for both of you. Jared, I know that you've already been here and you've had the luxury of skating with a lot of folks, but who would you guys most like to pair up with? You know, we got potential Norris Trophy winner here on that D. It may be locked down with Ellis, you know, back in action, but who would be your first? And the second question here is a little quickie for Holzer. What's on your bucket list here in Music City?
Ooh, good question.
Ah. Do you want to start, or?
You can lead with the bucket list if you want to.
Yeah. Well, I guess I have to say cowboy boots and cowboy hat,
yeah,
probably.
Yeah, you have to get that. That's standard.
I think I have to. And
you don't have one?
Nothing.
As a German, you
nothing.
Don't have cowboy boots?
No, I'm from Munich, so I have my Lederhosen.
There you go.
Yeah. It actually looks great, not as fake stuff you guys buy. So.
Well, we have Germantown.
Yeah, there you go. I should go there, maybe.
You go,
yeah, put that on the bucket list.
See if it's authentic. See if it's the real deal. Yeah.
But I actually, like, I wanted to buy a guitar, like, even before I got traded here and start playing. I've never played. My dad played. And it would be nice to, I think this is a great spot, to probably get a guitar and find somebody to teach me how to play.
Well, let's put the question this way, Jared. As you've watched, you know, you've now been with the organization a couple years, and now you're working your way into being a regular. You've watched guys like Ryan Ellis and Roman Josi and Matthias Ekholm in the league now for a couple years. What have you learned from those guys, for example?
Yeah, I think the big thing, you know, I've always loved watching Ellie play. I think he's kind of been one of the players that's impressed me so much because, you know, he's not the biggest guy out there on the ice. But I think the way he thinks the game, the way he reads the game, you know, how good he is with his stick, the way he kills plays, I think is, you know, that stuff you can learn, and that stuff that, you know, my size and my skill set, I can always add stuff like that to my game. And so I think that's been a huge thing. I think, you know, being a part of the organization, learning from guys like that, and then you see, obviously, that, you know, the skill that he has is pretty extraordinary. So, you know, that's not ever going to be me buzzing around out there. But
a couple times I've seen it, though. Oh, yeah. Cycling down quite. Below the goal line.
Yeah, just lost down there. No, but, you know, there's great defensemen on this team. And I think that was one of the big things that kind of brought me to Nashville when I signed here was, you know, their history with their defensemen. And, you know, obviously I know what the depth chart looks like, and I knew signing here, you know, it's going to be a tough one to crack. But I think just getting the opportunity to be, you know, a part of this group, I think was something that I was really chomping at the bit to do and that I really wanted to be a part of.
Hal, you mentioned this to me one day. I don't know if you've ever said it on the air, but Roman Josi's skating style. You said something to the effect of he just chews up the ice the way he skates, just his style of skating. What does that mean?
Well, I think you guys can attest to it. You watch Yo's skate, and he, you know, I compare it to PK Subban, was very choppy, and I feel like
quick legs. It looked like he'd ride a bicycle
just
a little bit.
One
yeah.
push can get to full speed, and once he's going, it feels like the ice just crumbles underneath him, and he
he's know, getting he like can, traction
he
underneath.
Can stop, he can stop and cut back. The way he tears it up, like and it's funny. You know, you guys are right on the ice, and you can see it.
Yeah.
I feel like just watching. And it's funny you said that because I look at it. Ryan Ellis is like I can mimic my game after him with Yost. There's no point saying
no.
I'm going to do that. You know, because it's so hard to skate. As fluid and as easy as he does, but at the same time, you can see the ice just blowing up as he's going through, and it's an effortless stride, but so powerful. And Matthias Ekholm is very similar the way he skates as well. Right?
Yeah, they're both. I mean, this is a pretty pretty impressive back end. I mean, Eki too. He skates so well, and he's always got his head up too, which I think is the most important thing. Yeah. You never see him. He never seems like he's in trouble. He's never head down in the corner whacking the puck away. He's always got a plan when he has it, and he's always moving with his head up. And so I think all the guys on the back end kind of have their own unique skill set, and I think you can take something from everybody's game. I think everybody's got really good at their job and what they do. They do it well, and I think that's what makes the D-Corps so good.
We're going to come back with one more segment with these guys as we go into the final quarter of our show here on Smashville Live from Boomba's Pizza and Tap House here on the east side. Our sponsors, of course, Spring Hill Heating and Cooling, Red Spirits and Wine, New Amsterdam Vodka. We'll be back for one final segment with Corbinian Holzer and Jared Tenorti of the Nashville Predators, who are back in action tomorrow night against the Calgary Flames. And don't forget, Saturday night, the homestand continues against the Colorado Avalanche. And then Monday night, they'll wrap it up with a game against the Edmonton Oilers. Stay tuned. We're coming back with more after this. A lighter schedule tonight in the NHL. Buffalo and Colorado are underway. As we mentioned, the Avalanche come in here. There are three meetings between the Predators and the Avs between now and the end of the season. Colorado and Buffalo tied at one at the end of the first. Edmonton, who comes in on Monday, is in Vegas tonight. That'll be one when you get home tonight, 9:30 start on NBCSN. That will be worth checking out. Two good teams there. And then Pittsburgh is at L.A. So how you
got a lot of speed. Team. Preds got a lot of speed bumps, huh?
Yeah, we got a schedule here coming up.
You got to earn it, no question about it. Yeah. And Hal, you mentioned you like what Edmonton did at the draft. In fact, you were a good foreshadower, because you said before the game, you were saying in the morning, you liked Ennis and Athanasiou to go with Connor McDavid. Sure enough, they put those three together, and they lost the game to the Ducks, to Corbinian's form a team, but those three were productive in particular.
Well, I want to ask you guys what you think. Athanasiou is, the kid's fast.
He flies. Yeah.
I mean, that's what he does.
Yep.
You put him with McDavid, who flies even more, and has the skill, and then Ennis is as quick as they come. I mean, that guy can he can bob and weave. Yeah. Otherwise, he'd be dead.
Yeah.
What do you think about playing against a line like that?
I just saw the highlights earlier this morning, and you could see that one goal they had, that 3-on-2 rush,
right,
and it was a bang bang tic tac toe play, and that's a tough line to catch. Like, I think skating wise. Like you said, and the skill they all three have, they could complement each other pretty well and make the team a lot deeper than it was before.
And the second line is only Draisaitl leading scorer in the league. So, yeah. These teams have made moves to make themselves, well, on paper, make themselves better. What do you guys feel about now that you're on this team? There's not a lot of moves with the Preds. How do you feel about the team going forward? Jared?
Yeah, I mean, I feel great. I think, our roster, stacks up just as well as any team in the league, I think. It hasn't quite come together for us the way we wanted it to, up until this point in the season. But, as we sit today, we find ourselves in the playoffs, and we got 20 games to go. And, there's still, a lot of work left to do, but we're still in a great position, to make a push. And so, I think we're headed in the right direction, and, we have the skill and the room to score the big goals that we need to, and I think we got the guys that will work in there too. And so, it's just a matter of putting it all together for this last little stretch.
On the post-game show, Ryan Ellis talked about how important it is. The last two seasons, the Preds have kind of trickled into the playoffs, it just winning conference champions. It's like not a big deal. Raise the banner, and then we'll get to the playoffs. And then all of a sudden, the playoffs hit you like a truck. And so he was talking about the fact that how nice would it be if you're going to get into the playoffs that you're going in hot. You have to be going in hot.
Yeah.
So how nice is that to know that if you go in hot, you have a chance to get something done?
Yeah. I mean, look at the way St. Louis did it. And, that L.A. team, a few years ago, I mean, I think they were 8th seed, too, and they came in storming, and they just blew everyone out you know, out of the water in the playoffs. And so I think that's a huge thing, not only like confidence wise when guys know they're playing well, playing the way they need to, you know, you just go in, you know, with that swagger that you need. And you know, I think that's kind of the end goal. I mean, you know, everyone wants to be feeling good in the playoffs, but if you have the wins and the record to back it up, I think that just brings you to a whole another level.
Hal, you've educated me a lot on defensive systems, and Jared, you've watched as excuse me, as Coach Hines has come in and put in the defensive system, and the numbers speak for themselves. You guys are really doing a nice job every night, giving yourselves a chance to win. And it is a little different. It does look like in your evolution, it is, you've adjusted well, and this is a good fit for you.
Yeah, I think you know, that was a big, when I first got to Nashville, that was a big difference for me. I hadn't played man-on-man in a long time, and so that's what we were doing. And then I think you know, when Hines took over, that's kind of more the system that I was used to playing. But for some guys, it's the opposite. I mean, guys have been here 6, 7, 8 years, you know, playing the same system for a long time now. And so, you know, that it's going to take some adjustment. I mean, it's not going to be perfect. I mean, some games we look really good, and some games are a little bit, you know, disorganized. It's not going to be perfect right away. But I think, you know, as long as we're all moving in the right direction, I think that's, you know, that's the goal.
Corby, how much have you gotten? Did you get a crash course today? Was it just like this is all of it? Just the coaches throwing up on you and giving you everything they got. This is our forecheck and our everything, D-zone.
And one thing they have said about you is they think you're a fit for this.
Yeah, like I had a very long video session the first day I came in with the coach, Dan Lambert.
Yeah.
And I think he said, like, I got like 26 or 27 clips for you when we started. Let's see if we get through all of them. And I was like, all right. Here we go. And then once we get through it, it's like, yeah, like, I've seen stuff, and like, I've been around long enough. And when he said, like, with the zone D, like, instead of the man-on-man, like, it's kind of like self-explanatory for me, because that's the way we played in Anaheim. That's the way we played the last few years. And there's always like little bit of adjustments you got to make, and little details that might be different than the things you're used to. But in the end of the day, like, you can talk everything out, and if they show you in video, I think you can get adjusted pretty well and or pretty quick. And then it's just going out there, having fun, and execute.
Well, this will be a great test tomorrow, as we just have another minute or two. And Corby, this is your division, right? The Calgary, you've played many games against the Flames, and Jared, you guys just had a big win against them.
Yep.
A few weeks ago, but they're a feisty team. They're coming in well. Just give us a thought or two when you think of the Flames, what you have to do to be successful against them. What comes to mind?
You know, I think we just, you know, as far as me personally, I think I just have to play physical. I think it's going to be a little bit of a greasier game. It's going to be hard in the corners, hard in front of the net. And, you know, I think we just played them not too long ago, so I think we're all kind of ready for that. But, you know, I think we just got to stick to our game plan. I think we kind of know, you know, what they're about coming in here. You know, hopefully we can get a good start to the game, get the crowd into it, and, you know, keep playing.
So what your experience with the Flames, what pops into your head?
We just played them recently, too, and we blew a 3-1 lead in the third, like 2 or 3 minutes into the third. We just gave them the game on the silver platter. So it just tells you they can come back in any time of the game. And it's just like, try to take their skill guys out of the game. Obviously, you want to stay out of the box with their power play and the skill they have on that power play with Johnny Gaudreau and those guys. And yeah, just make it hard on those players. Make them take away time and space, like you always say on skilled players. But those guys, you got to play hard and make them earn it, like every inch out there. And I think that's going to be the biggest part, because I think with the skill this team has, like Nashville or us now, I can say that.
Yeah, I can say that. You're part of it, bud.
Yeah, I think you can do some damage offensively, and if you can shut them down and make it hard on them on their offensive side, it's going to be, yeah, should be a successful night.
It's going to be a lot of fun. I know, I would guess, Keith Tkachuk will be in the house. He was there.
Well, you're going from one Tkachuk to another Tkachuk. You talked about dealing with the front of the net. We saw it the first shift, I think it was. Brady Tkachuk was right in the mix.
Yeah, he's always there, yeah. That was the first time I played against him, too, so.
Yeah, and then, you know the next Tkachuk is coming. Yep. Matthew's going to be the same thing, and his dad's going to be up chairing in the stands.
All right, well, let's everybody give him a big round of applause. Jared Tenorti, Corbini, and Holzer coming over to Boomboz tonight for Smashville Live. Skillsy, it's been a pleasure. This has been good stuff. Thanks for coming to my neighborhood.
Thanks for guest hosting, and thanks for having us in your neighborhood.
Yeah, East glad to do it. And once again, our thanks to the sponsors, Spring Hill Heating and Cooling, Red Spirits and Wine, New Amsterdam Vodka, and Don't forget, Skillsy and Company starting up the pregame tomorrow night at 6 o'clock with Darren McFarland and the Predators and Flames tomorrow at 7. This is us saying goodbye from the east side. We'll send it back to the studio here on 102.5 The Game.